Hi, today's March 18th, 2017. This is Mobile News Podcast number 199. I'm Paolo Gasawar, and my good friend John Westfall is not here today. He's on a super secret mission, but he shall rejoin us for podcast number 200. This is, as I said, I think 99. But today I do have my good friend Paul Lawler. And even though we live like probably, what, 1 mile apart?
Not even.
We're not even in the same room. I could probably toss a rock over the mountain into this house. But at any rate, well, if I could toss it that high. But in any case, the reason I asked Paul in today is that, like me, he bought a Chromebook Plus, a Samsung Chromebook Plus at the same time. Unlike me, his shipped fast. He got his like a half a week earlier or something. But in any case, we both now have a couple of weeks of experience under our respective belts, and I wanted to hear from him as a technologist whose opinions I value and trust to see what he's found so far. We haven't really talked about our experiences with the Chromebook Plus. So let me just start by saying this. Welcome.
Oh,
hey, you have a bird too.
I do. But I have a question.
Yeah.
Is John Westfall's secret mission finding his right earpod?
He claims he has not lost any AirPods. He has not lost an AirPod, even though he's traveled with them, and I don't believe him. I've never actually seen them since. But anyway, welcome, Paul. And so let me just start by saying this, aside from welcome, is, you know, I've been waiting for an Android notebook since the moment I tried the Motorola Zoom, which is the Android tablet I bought however many years ago that was, 2011, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I returned it almost immediately because it just kept crashing. The battery didn't last. It just wasn't a good experience for me. Although I have I think my good friend Kim Bridges, who's also been to the podcast, had a very good experience with his Zoom. But in any case, I really wanted an Android notebook after the experience because I wanted apps with a real keyboard and instant on and all the kind of things that we've learned to appreciate from things like the iPad, which is why I think the iPad Pro is such a joy to use. And I've also been interested in Chromebooks, but not interested enough to actually shell out money for them. Because from my way of thinking, they were just, a Chrome browser wrapped in some electronics. And it just seemed like, can't I do that with something else? I may have been wrong in that opinion. But in any case, now that we have Android apps available out of the box in the new Samsung Chromebook Plus, I said, well, now's the time to pull the trigger. And as our fives of listeners may recall, I actually wanted to buy the Acer Chromebook R13, which became available in October or November, but I couldn't get it shipped out here, and I'm too lazy to actually go fight traffic and drive to Best Buy and find a parking space and then told they're out of stock. So, so I never did buy one of those. So sorry about that, Acer. I still think it's a fine device. I just never bought one. Any rate, so I've been using it at home for last, I don't know, 2 weeks now, I guess, I've had it. Is that, you've had it like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah. Sorry.
Your birds and John's birds really loved it. It's fine. By the way, it gives us this kind of ambiance.
A certain cachet, right?
an audio ambiance. So don't worry about the birds. It's not a big deal. And so anyway, I'm interested to hear. So are you using it? How often do you use it?
You know, I have to say that this is one of those technologies that I saw your post about ordering it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I've always wanted one. This sounds like a great combination of a Chromebook plus a little something more to make it worthwhile.
Right.
And my iPad is getting really long in the tooth. I have an iPad. Well, it was the one called the new iPad that only lasted for about 6 months before they came out with a better one.
Right.
So it's getting a little long in the tooth. It still uses the old connector. So I said, I want something instant on, like the iPad. Instead of buying a new iPad, maybe I'm going to go this route.
Okay.
So I wanted to like the Chromebook.
Right. Okay.
But I just don't.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that. Especially since I apparently influenced that decision. well, okay.
In fact, I'm almost ready to put it back in the box and return it because it just, you know, in fact, I was showing it to my friend.
Okay.
And she said, well, you know, what is it? And I'm explaining, and she goes, well, how much did it cost? And I told her, and she goes, why would you spend that much for this? So I may still get a Chromebook, but I don't think I'm going to keep this one because I would honestly rather put this much money toward a Surface Pro 4.
Ah, interesting.
Because that will do all the things I need to do as opposed to half of the things I need to do.
Right. Well, let's see. What should I say? First thing I should say is I'm reordering our show notes just a bit. So, you know, I the reason I reordered it is because I know what your problem is. Based on our discussion prior to the podcast meeting, I think I know what your issue is. So let's start with that. I moved that from the bottom of the show notes up to the top.
Oh, okay.
And that's, so, go ahead.
I think my biggest issue was that it, even though it purports to run Android apps,
right,
I could not successfully get it to run an Android app for more than a few minutes without it crashing.
And can I ask you which Android apps you've tried? Like Evernote, for example, or
I did not try Evernote.
Okay.
I have to pull out my Android phone here and take a look at it.
Okay, while I do that, why don't I go through my list?
Okay.
And we can talk about this. So I have not installed, surprisingly, I have not installed as many Android apps as I thought I would. Because to me, this was, like you, this was kind of like the big deal. I'm not stuck with just a Chrome browser and the rinky-dink Chrome web apps. And you know, we could have real, live apps. But really, I only have 3 apps installed, and one came with a Chromebook. The, you know, Art Canvas, which is the drawing app that came with a Chromebook.
Right.
It is a real live Android app, as far as I can figure. It's in the Android App Store and so forth. And I played with that a little while because, you know, it has a pressure-sensitive pen and all that. Mm-hmm. I installed Evernote, and I installed Google Play Movies and TV. Even though you can watch it, Google Play videos without the app, the app lets you download it and watch it offline.
Right.
I thought that'd be pretty nice. You don't have to deal with the vagaries of broadband things. Anyway, none of them have crashed on me. So I'm really surprised to hear that.
That's been your good experience. I installed, first I installed all of the home automation apps.
Okay.
I have a Wink Hub. I have Wemo switches. I have TP-Link switches.
Okay.
I have an Alexa or an Echo.
Right.
And so I installed all of I have Philips Hue light bulbs. So I installed all of those to give myself some control there.
And they all crash.
And they all, well, I shouldn't say they all crash, but none of them worked reliably enough that I could depend on them, right?
Okay.
And then I installed Netflix. I installed... what else? The Verizon app. I mean, some pretty basic kinds of things.
Okay.
And I just, you know, each one that I would start up, and I'm not sure if it was related to the number of things that were open or the number of tabs. I tend to run a browser with a lot of tabs open, which leads to my other issue with it, which was that it was like super, super slow. I don't know if you've had that experience, but...
Well, let me start with a couple of suggestions before you ship it back, just so you know you don't find out later, I could have fixed this. One, have you tried doing a what did they call their rebuild? Power wash. Have you tried a power wash to rebuild?
I did.
Okay, and that didn't help.
No.
Okay. And the next thing is, have you turned off Google Drive syncing for offline access? Okay,
no,
I did
not.
That. And because I, like you, when I first got it, it seemed like it was a little bit sluggish. And honestly, at first I thought it was because it wasn't living up to the Google Octane ratings that I'd heard reviewers quote pretty consistently at about, I think, 94 to 9600 octane. And I was getting like 88 to 8900 octane, which is, you know, not that much slower, but significantly enough that I thought maybe I was seeing that difference. For whatever reason, mine was not performing like the models the reviewers had. So that didn't... so anyway, I thought, maybe it's just that. But then I noticed a setting that Google Drive was setting everything to be available offline, which is, you know, not unreasonable. It's a mobile device. You know, you're going on an airplane or someplace. You'd like to have your files there. But I said, well, I'm using this mostly at home. So I turned it off, and that seemed to make it a lot faster for me.
Okay.
So I'd give that a try. And the other thing I would recommend is try using Evernote, or, you know, because I assume you use Evernote, so you'd have to test it with, and see if that crashes, because it does not crash on me.
Okay.
And also, it's funny, you know, although, you know, I just said I used the, or I downloaded and installed the Google Play Movies and TV app. I'm a Netflix subscriber, too, but I have not downloaded the Netflix app. I just browse it in the web.
Okay.
Yeah. So I suggest that. I'm really surprised you've had so many problems with it. I'll send you a... Go ahead.
There's a lot of little things that that bug me about it, like the stylus. Sometimes it works beautifully. It looks like you're drawing calligraphy. The pressure-sensitive part of it, I just love. Uh-huh. But then other times, I expect to be able to click on something and have it do something, and it doesn't function the way I expect it to function. It's not consistent across the different functions and features of the Chromebook.
You know, I have not played enough with the stylus to know that. I've only used it with Arth Canvas, so I installed a Bluetooth mouse on
Okay.
But it's just not... I have had problems with the stylus. Let's not call it a problem. Let's call it performance expectancies. Now, I'm comparing it to the Apple Pencil on iPad.
Right.
So that's kind of my reference point of how I expect a stylus to work optimally, or, you know, as reasonably as possible, you know, given today's technology. And I see lag. It behaves a little differently than I think when I apply pressure. But again, my reference point is Apple Pencil. If I'd gone the opposite way, started with a Samsung device with a stylus, and then gone to Apple Pencil, I might have a different opinion of that. But that's just my reference point.
In fact, I wanted to ask you about that because I know you're an artist, and so the functionality of it in that respect, I think, would be more important to you than to me.
So I can draw on it. I think the two big differences are, A, the stylus. Well, there's a lot of differences, but let's start with the stylus. There's a couple. The stylus is short. I don't know. Can you extend it? I don't think so.
No.
So it's short, right? It's like trying to draw with a stubby little pencil.
Or a crayon,
right? And you know what? If I had hands of a five-year-old, like allegedly some politicians do, we're going to get political, but, you know, just a joke. But if I had hands of size of five-year-old, this would be nice size for a drawing thing. The other thing is it's too thin. Right? It doesn't feel like a pencil or pen or brush or anything else you might normally draw or doodle with. Even a ballpoint pen, right, which I doodle with a lot in real world.
And it's got a funny shape.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of rectangular. It's comfortable. It doesn't, like, cut into you or anything, but it's, you know, it just doesn't meet those expectations. Now, that said, it's not bad. I'm a little surprised. I don't know how it works. I haven't looked that up because it's got no batteries. And yet it's got pressure sensitivity somehow. So I'm not sure how that works. The Apple Pencil is, you know, a rechargeable battery system. Mm-hmm. So I got to charge it every couple of days, essentially, depending on how much I use it. And I generally don't use it much. I generally use it pretty literally 15 minutes a day. That's how long I take to draw something every day. Mm-hmm. But it's not bad. It's certainly better than the Pencil by 53, which is a Bluetooth, you know, active drawing stylus that I bought for my iPad to see how it fared against the Apple Pencil, and I can't draw at all with that thing. Well, I can, but it's not the way I want to draw. But it's not bad. I'm reasonably happy with it. You know, the fact that it comes with it versus being $100 extra charge, that's a plus. And I could learn how to use it. You know, basically these are all just nitpicky details. You can learn to use anything, right? So, you know, it's just a matter of getting used to it, I guess. But
On the plus side, I love the screen.
Oh, the screen is beautiful. It is surprisingly good. It's bright, lots of contrast, lots of color saturation, And I like the, is it a 3x2 ratio form factor?
Mm-hmm.
I hate 16.9. I hate 16.9 because it's simply not deep enough to do web pages and stuff, or writing for that matter.
It's great for movies, yeah, but...
that's all 16.9 is good for. And also it allows people to cheat, or manufacturers to cheat and say they have a, you know, 14-inch diagonal screen, but because it's 16.9, it's really a tiny screen.
Right.
So... yeah, I really like the screen. It's and in fact, because it's a little bit bigger than my iPad Pro 9.7, I prefer, you know, kind of, I tend to watch movies in a different way than other people, because when I'm taking care of the pets, I point the screen outside, and you have a headset on or a little Bluetooth speaker near me so I can hear it, and that's how I watch TV while I'm doing stuff outside.
Okay.
So, and it's a little bit bigger than iPad Pro, so for me, it's a better viewing experience. And I would say the screen is, as you know, it doesn't have the resolution of the Pro, but it's certainly bright and clear. So no complaints for movies, which are essentially 720p anyway. What about battery life? I guess you haven't been using it, so that hasn't been an issue for you.
No, I've been using it. I've made a conscious effort to use it, which brings up some of my other things that have been a little challenging.
Okay.
Because, well, you know, I teach.
Yes.
At UH, so...
University of Hawaii, for those who don't know, not University of Houston, but anyway.
Sorry, yes.
Or Hofstra.
And so our University of Hawaii accounts are... They're a Google account.
Right.
And so I ended up, you know, doing... I do a lot of things on Google Drive, and I have a combination of Google Drive and Dropbox and Microsoft OneDrive, and getting all that to play together nicely on the Chromebook, I just end up doing things where I'm just opening up four or five windows just so I can try and move things from one place to another easily and efficiently. And especially since I have to use my Office applications in the browser. On a positive side, Microsoft has really improved the Office in the browser experience.
I agree.
I didn't even realize how much they had improved it until I started using the Chromebook, and that was all I had.
Yeah, I agree completely, especially Outlook in the web is pretty darn good. Have not really been using that much of Word, but I've been using Excel on the web quite a bit to, you know, move things around.
I have students who have had an Excel assignment, so I've been grading Excel assignments all week using the web version, and it is just almost... a fully functioning version of Excel.
Yeah, I think it even has some pivot functions in it. It's not quite the same as the desktop, but you can do pivot tables and things like that. So.
Yeah, the data and pivot functions are a little weak, but
they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which wasn't true in the old days. In fact, I think even Google Spreadsheet only got a pivot function a few years ago, so, or a pivot table capability a few years ago. So that was really nice too. So I'll just say that, so your battery life, you've been making it concerted pretty good?
The battery life has been fabulous. I'm going to say it's 8 or 10 hours easily.
Which is what it's rated at. It's rated at about 8, I think. And the way I use it, I charge it once a day when I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I've noticed is that when I did some test charges early on, it charges really fast. It's not a fast charger, but it is a, you know, faster than I expected.
A fast charger.
Now, earlier we were talking about it's a little bit slower than we, you know, than I expected. For you, it's been a lot slower, I guess, and I suggested turning off Google Drive on offline syncing. But what about the browser itself? How many tabs do you have open? You said you have a lot of tabs open.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? I've got at least 7 or 8, and maybe 10 or 12 tabs open at a time.
Oh, I didn't have that many.
It starts to really...
Yeah.
Bog down at that point.
Generally, I have between 3 to 7 tabs open, so I never hit that 10 to 12, load limit. Although earlier, before I did, you know, I turned off that Google Drive offline syncing, it did seem a little slow when I got up to like 6 or 7 tabs just for...
And that may be my app issue, too, is that I've got all these tabs open and running, and then I try and open an app on top of that, and it just goes, ah!
Right. It might be like, you know, it might be kind of like a netbook in that way, right? Netbook ran Windows, whatever it was at the time, Windows 7, but it really wasn't a real Windows device. And
Right.
Although this configuration is not bad. You know, I think it's got 4 gigabytes of RAM and a decent custom designed ARM processor, co-designed with Google, specifically to be optimized for Google OS or Chrome OS. I'm sorry, Chrome OS. So it's, you know, it's certainly not as fast as, say, a Surface Pro 4, which I use at work. But that said, because Chrome is optimized, some Chrome rendering is actually faster than my Surface Pro 4, from what I can tell. So it's okay. It's been pretty good. Now, what about the keyboard? Now, a lot of people, reviews I read and saw on YouTube complained about the keyboard. I think it's okay. It's a little bit, I'm kind of opening mine up now to get, it's a little bit plasticky, you know, chiclet keyboards, but it's okay.
Yeah, I think most of the complaints revolve around the peripheral keys being too small. So not the letter keys, but, you know, the return and the delete and the shift and the caps lock and things like that are smaller than normal. But I have not had a problem with it, I have to say.
I agree. It's a little bit, what's the word on you, shaky? The keys kind of tend to rattle in their little
thinking,
but I can type on it. You know, it's not like, oh, what was it called? The Windows RT Touch keyboard, touch cover. That was hard. I couldn't type on that at all. So I would say it's, you know, it's pretty good. And also, I've been hearing hearing on YouTube reviews and reading some complaints about the touchpad. What's your experience with that one about?
Gee, I haven't had any trouble with that either.
Yeah, I can't say it's great, but, you know, I don't think it warrants the complaints I've seen on the reviews of it. It's okay. And in fact, I rarely need to touch my screen because the touchpad is, like you said, it's okay enough, or I use a mouse, so.
Well, it's okay, and plus I've also been making a conscious effort to try and use the stylus.
Oh, which I have not been doing, actually.
So.
Okay, and I added a Bluetooth mouse to mine. It is a terrible mouse. It is a Microsoft. Let me go find it. It is a. It's a. It's a weird mouse that Microsoft came out with and then abandoned. I think it's called a Microsoft. Shoot, I don't know what it's called. But instead of a scroll wheel, it has a little touch strip at the top.
Oh.
And I thought it was going to be a good idea, right?
Right.
Several years ago, but it's a terrible idea. It doesn't work at all.
Okay.
So I have a new Bluetooth mouse on order. Because, of course, it doesn't have a USB-A port, so we can't plug in a USB mouse. But I've got a new Bluetooth, and, you know, for what it is, it's fine.
That's the other thing that I, you know, when I opened it up and I looked at it, and I went, wait a minute, there's no USB port at all.
Well, there are, but there are USB-C ports.
The USB-C, right.
Yeah.
So which I don't have anything that is USB-C at this point.
Exactly, including a spare charger, right? So. One of the things I have not done yet is order a USB-C cable and test to see if I can charge it from an anchor, you know, gang port or a battery, you know, high amperage battery, portable battery charger or whatever. So I haven't tried any of that.
I have read that you can.
Okay. I'm a little bit scared to order a USB-C cable because I've read so many bad things about, you know, various ones that are not designed quite the way they should be. So... there's a Google engineer who has a Google Plus page that's supposed to tell you which ones are good or not. So I need to go check that person's Google Plus page out and see what he recommends. So anyway, like I said, Bluetooth mouse, been working fine. Another question I have for you. So I bought it pretty sure I was going to use it mostly in a notebook mode. And that's been true for me. Now, because you've been using a stylus more, have you been folding it over and using it as a, you know, kind of like a tablet?
I tried that, and it makes a terrible tablet.
Yeah.
Because it's really, I mean, it's very heavy for a tablet.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly feeling like, oh, I've got to be really careful not to damage the keyboard.
Which is underneath.
Because the keyboard is underneath and exposed. Right. There's no cover for it or anything.
Yeah, I haven't been using, the only time I use it in a tablet-like mode, basically I fold the keyboard underneath, is to draw on it. Mm-hmm. And I only did that once. So,
okay.
So it's something I think I'll go back to trying again. I'll try to use it for doodling, as I call it. It's not really drawing. But I'll say that one of the things I'm kind of interested in is to try to figure out the Art Canvas app that ships with it. It's an Android app for drawing. And the reason I say that is, you know, it just doesn't have as many features as... I use this app called Procreate for iOS on my iPad Pro. And boy, you know, it's almost got an... Well, not almost. It has an overwhelming amount of features. And so one of the things I kind of decided to do early on is I'm only going to use like 5 things. And the other 580 things that you can do with it, I'm not going to worry about for a while.
Right.
You know? Art Canvas is the other. It's like, well, what can it do? It doesn't have this, or maybe it does have it, but I can't find it. You know, it's got one of those things I call clueless UIs, where there's no clue to what the user interface is supposed to do. And this is very common. This, unfortunately, has become very common across platforms. It's not just a Chrome problem or an Android problem. It's an iOS problem. You're faced with these user interfaces that has no clue for the end user as to what to touch or tap or click or whatever.
Well, and in some cases, like with Snapchat, that's actually deliberate. Because they don't want old people to know how to use it.
Which would be you and I guess.
Right, exactly.
Well, they succeeded because I've never used Snapchat.
Okay. If you ever go to use Snapchat, you will discover the most clueless UI you have ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, now we talked about the stylus a bit, and I said, you know, basically it's okay.
So you haven't experimented with the app where you can write handwriting and it'll convert it?
No. What app is that?
Okay.
Let me go look. I have my Chromebook right here.
It's just a basic app for taking notes.
Okay. It's not Google Keep. It's something else?
Yeah, Google Keep should do it too.
Okay, because I use Google Keep. For kind of looking through my app, seeing what might be. There's Drive Notepad. I don't know what that is. That's the other thing that's kind of interesting. So when interesting, I mean, I should have known this, but when I first attached it to my Google account, it being the Chromebook Plus, you know, all my apps magically appeared, or my Chrome web apps magically appeared. So unfortunately, it doesn't differentiate between Chrome web apps and Android apps, so it's hard for me to tell what's an Android app and what's a...
Right.
So that's kind of irritating. And even things like Google Mail, you know, you tap... The Google Mail is one of the icons right at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first tapped it, I thought, I wonder if it has a Google Mail app on here or Inbox or something. But no, it just opens the Chrome browser and puts Google Mail.
And opens your mail, right?
Which is okay. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, but you know, that kind of goes back to something I said earlier, is that I didn't install many Android apps because, you know, even though we have Chrome on Android tablets and phones and the iPhone and iPad, it's really not the same as the desktop. And some things just don't work on those things.
Right.
Websites don't render, JavaScript doesn't JavaScript, you know, buttons don't work, that kind of stuff. But on the Chromebook, it just works. It's exactly the same, as far as I can tell, as Chrome on, you know, Windows or Mac. And, you know, all my web apps work. Can I say this out loud? The ad blocker I use works, you know, was installed and worked automatically. So... It's been very pleasant, which is why I generally now, after I process these podcasts, normally on Sunday night, I don't turn on my MacBook or Windows PC again till the next weekend.
Wow.
I just use the Chromebook Plus. I mean, it prints to my printer, the only thing it doesn't do, and this comes under our next thing, things that don't work. it doesn't pair with my Amazon Echo.
Right, and I tried that too at your suggestion, and I can't get mine to pair either.
Yeah, and another friend, Kevin Toffel, also tried it, and he says, nope. So we're 0 for 3. I think that's a trend. That's not just, you know, some interesting problem. We'll come back to problems. In fact, I'm trying to remember if I have many problems. No, in fact, that's only one. But from missing features, you know, what do you? I have three that I think are missing. One we've already mentioned. That's a lack of a USB-A port,
mm-hmm.
receptacle. It does have two USB-Cs, but I've got nothing that talks to USB-C, so that's a big help. I don't even have an extra cable.
Having said that, I'm convinced that USB-C is the future for most devices.
That's what everybody says, right? Yeah, for phones. And then, you know, I have an old Nexus Android phone. I have a Nexus 6, which isn't even supported anymore. And that's a, you know, USB micro.
Mm-hmm.
Micro USB port, so... Bill doesn't help me with this whole C thing. I guess it's like Lightning, right? I raised a lot of stink about it because I didn't want to switch from the 30-pin connector to Lightning, but I've grown to accept the way the world is. The other thing is not as important. That's the fact that it can display to external display, which is not that important to me because its display is so nice and relatively large. But you need to buy a dock.
Mm-hmm.
To throw it out on a larger screen, which can be up to 4K, I believe. So that was kind of thing. But the thing that really bothered me, as you know, as your friend said when you told her the price, the problem I have is that for $450, and that's a list price for the Samsung Chromebook Plus, it's $550 for the Samsung Chromebook Pro, which has an Intel processor. For $450, for a device that only has 32 gigabytes of solid state storage and 4 gigabytes of RAM. They really should have had some kind of biometric login for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either a fingerprint reader like Apple's iOS devices or facial recognition like Windows Hello on, you know, the Surface Pro 4. So that's the only thing. You know, I have to claw in. Oh, and doesn't have password turned on by default when you open the screen. So you have to go in there and manually set that. So, and you know, which I do, of course. I did, I should say. But once you do that, I have to like manually claw at the keyboard to log in every time I open the screen. Mm-hmm. Which I accept as a necessary evil, but it would have been so much easier if they had a fingerprint reader
or a face recognition.
Yeah. So, I'm a little miffed by that. Maybe next year. What are your missing features or problems? Well, you've had more problems than I have.
Well, I, the biggest thing is, again, in trying to work with it, I keep running into, you have to download this program, and, well, I can't download that program and install it.
Well, or like you what? Have
just like things for. I was working with GoToMeeting.
Okay. Oh.
So I can't download and install the component that it wants me to download and install. And somebody said, can you try this other alternative to GoToMeeting, which is called Zoom, and it's much better. Okay. And I said, I'll try it. But again, it's going, you have to download and install this. And I can't. So I keep turning back to my Mac or my PC to do something that I want to be able to just do. My astronomy software and stuff like that. I have to bounce back and forth too much. Whereas if I had a Surface Pro 4, everything is right there.
That's an interesting point. As I said, I have to turn on a Mac to record these podcasts because I don't know how to record a Mac on Chromecast or on a web in general, which is a web-based service. I guess SoundCloud used to be able to do it, but now that's a paid service, so... I don't know if I want to do that. Given that I already pay for podcasting service separately, and then I wouldn't be able to process the audio file. So I do volume leveling, and I add a little musical intro to it, and upload it to my podcasting host, and I don't think I can do that to Chromebook too. So there are, I would call them highly vertical requirements. I think your astronomy apps come under highly vertical.
Right.
You know, it's not something 90% of people do. Same thing with podcasting, not something 90% of people do. If we were heavy video editors, we couldn't do that on here either, I think. Even photo processing, I think you could do it, but given that it doesn't have a SD card slot, it has a micro SD card. Micro? Whatever.
Micro SD card
slot. But, you know, you can't fit in the standard size ones that come with most cameras unless you're using a micro SD card in your camera with an adapter. But I went to Costco, you know, Center of Technology, and bought a 64 gigabyte SD card, micro SD card for $20 the other day.
Yeah.
And Well, this is kind of disappointing, too. It's hard to store stuff on it, you know?
Yeah, I heard you mentioning that with John, that it was hard to...
And by that, I mean apps. If they say apps can install the SD card. I haven't found that option. Or I found it, but it's grayed out, so I can't do it.
Right.
If I download videos from Google Play, I subscribe to a number of TV shows, like The Flash and Supergirl on there, Blacklist. And it downloads it directly to the 32 gigs of internal storage. I can't redirect it externally.
Without giving you an option, right?
Yeah. And I haven't seen that option. I haven't found it. You know, I've looked for it. So the 64 gigs, it's nice to say I have 64 gigs of external storage on it all the time, but really very few things you can put on it. You know, I guess if you download a lot of PDFs or you're going to bring, I don't know, external music, you're not using Google Play Music, I guess that would work. But really, like most Android devices, it doesn't use the external SD card well.
You know, at the point where you're dealing with things like PDFs, I'm going to put them in the cloud anyway. I don't care about having them local.
Right.
It's video and things that I want local so that I get better playback and I can take it with me and use it on a plane.
So, yeah, for a couple $100 more, well, depending how much of a Surface Book 4 Pro 4 you buy. So let's say five, twice as much. Let's say $1,000.
Yeah.
You know. You can do a whole lot more. It's a lot faster. You'll probably get an i5 at that price. 128 gigs of storage and a real USB port and all that kind of stuff. But for what I wanted, and I've been wanting for years now, is I wanted instant on. I wanted to be able to use a real Chrome browser, a real browser in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones on iPad and Android phones are not real browsers to me. They kind of get close, but, you know, the plugins don't work.
Right.
You know, aren't available. So, you know, you can't do things like in Chrome on iPad. I don't think you can do ad blocking. No, you have to use Safari. Mm-hmm. Apple's built-in ad blocking.
Of course, ad blocking isn't what it used to be, because every other website you go to now says, if you don't turn off your ad blocker, you can't see our site.
Yeah, and I stopped going to those sites.
That's most of the news sites out there.
Nah, I don't know. You know, CNN doesn't block me, or doesn't block my blocker. And to be honest, you know, if a site has value for me and their ads are not too intrusive or potentially dangerous, I do. The ad blocker I use, which is, I always forget, the free blocker called uBlock Origin,
which is free
from the Chrome Web App Store.
And I use AdBlock, which is also free.
Yeah. And I can do a per-site unblock. So when I'm on the website, I decide, hey, you know, this is a worthwhile site. I'm fine with looking at their ads. They're not intrusive or dangerous. I turn it off of that site. And the next time I go, they show me the ads, and I'm fine with that. There are some sites that, well, especially like if you go to Google Home and you have the suggested articles. And sometimes they're on sites you've never heard of, but they're kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I have ad blockers on for all of that, because I don't trust that site until I see it or, you know, learn more about it. All right, so that's about all I had in terms of kind of items I wanted to discuss with you and learn with you. I wish I understood more about why. I'd be interested if you could adjust the way you use it. And, you know, it's kind of a sad statement, but... Maybe, you know, have fewer tabs and no apps and see how that runs. And then just add, you know, a few tabs in one app and see how that runs. Because that's
Skype.
What I've been using it.
Skype is another app that crashed on me.
Oh, okay.
Repeatedly.
And I should mention, I'm recording this on a MacBook. So I have really not tested that. I should test that with football.
I mean... To me, it's a great idea that just isn't quite, it's still in beta. and for $450, I should get more than being a beta tester.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, when you look at the Google App Store, it does say beta, I think, still. But you're right. It is truly beta. We're not just, you know, saying that as a derivative or whatever.
Right.
You know, it literally is a beta release. But it is the first Chromebook that you can buy that runs the Android App Store out of the box. The rest you got to switch to the beta channel for Chrome OS and then turn it on and all that, and I just didn't want to deal with that.
Right.
Although I was willing to do that, like I said, for the Acer, but I couldn't get my hands on an Acer, so I said, I'll forget. I should note, surprisingly, Amazon shipped this with the lithium-ion battery to Hawaii.
Yes, I was surprised too.
Yeah, because I recently tried to buy a Qi charger. It's a Qi, a portable Qi charger, you know, with a battery in it.
Right.
Some kind of rechargeable battery. So I could charge my watch when I was traveling, when I'm traveling. And it wouldn't ship it to Hawaii. So I don't know if Google and or Samsung, you know, twisted Amazon's arm and forced them to ship this to, you know, Alaska and Hawaii. But for whatever reason, we were able to get it. And I'm a little surprised.
Oh, so speaking of watches.
Yeah.
I know you have the first generation Moto 360.
I do. I use it every day.
And I have one of those also. And I have a Pebble.
Okay.
And both of them are going away.
That's right. Pebble got bought by Fitbit.
Pebble could have sold out for hundreds of millions of dollars to Casio and
years ago.
And punted on it and ended up getting bought by Fitbit for, I don't know, $18 million or something.
Yeah, it's sad.
And Fitbit just bought them to kill them, essentially.
Yeah.
So there will be no more Pebbles, and apparently Motorola is getting out of the watch business too.
You are right.
So
what are you going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't want to buy an Apple Watch. It's just too expensive.
But that, you know, I had a client who called me over the other day. She goes, I need you to help me set up my watch. Okay. She bought one for herself and one for her husband. And I went over and there were two brand new stainless steel Milanese loop band Apple watches.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm thinking this is like $2,500 worth of watches here.
Yeah, right. Which for watch aficionados is, I guess, normal. But for regular people like us, it's like that's a lot of money for a watch.
Right. So I went to the Apple store, I looked at them, and the cheapest one I could find was $350.
Right. And that's a smaller one, too. That's the 38 millimeter or whatever model. My wife bought an Apple Watch, which she seems happy with. But Apple Watch with a watch band costs about as much as a Samsung Chromebook.
Right.
With much less functionality, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, basically what I use the watch for is notifications.
Right. Yeah, so maybe we're going to switch to, I don't know, the Fitbit, one of those Fitbit bands when they come out. But I have a problem with that, you know, and since we're going down this rabbit hole, I currently use a Fitbit 1, which is the old, you know, I don't even know how you describe it, mini soap bar design, whatever you want to call it. Right.
Right.
I wake up, I stick it in my pocket, and I walk around all day, and then I go to sleep and I put it in my wrist, and you know, it tracks me. I just don't think about it. I do not wear a watch all the time. Like, I'm not wearing a watch right now as I speak to you. I wear a watch when I go outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the house, I have lots of things that tells me time and notifies me. You know, right. It's outside of the house I have a problem. So, you know, it doesn't, a watch type of device doesn't track me as, well, I won't say as well, but it's just not on me all the time. You know, I just, like I said, I stick the Fitbit one in my pocket and I forget it's there.
So I actually stopped using the Fitbit in favor of the watch.
Right.
To see how well that would work. And it seems to work. For a while I wore both of them.
Right.
And they matched up so well that I said, you know what? I don't need to wear two things. I'm just going to wear the watch.
Oh, and so you wear the watch all the time.
So I wear the watch, not to sleep, but
all the
time.
Just walking around, eating dinner, doing your chores around the house, you got a watch on.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I know a lot of people do that. It's just not me. I just don't like things on my hands and wrists. You know, I don't wear rings or, you know, those kind of things. So.
Right. Well, I've always worn a watch, so I kind of feel
me too.
Naked without it.
Oh, I've always wanted to watch, but only outside of my home. even, you know, the old school watches. So that's been kind of... Okay, well, I'll be interested to hear how you solve your watch dilemma. Are you thinking about maybe another Android Wear device? None of them seem that appealing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody on one of your other shows was talking about the Huawei.
Yeah. I think John was talking about that.
So I thought I was going to take a look at that, but I'm afraid I may end up shelling out for an Apple Watch just because I'll be out of options.
You may have predicted my future also, but but we'll see. So far, my first gen Moto 60 is still working. And works the way I want it to. I really don't need all the fancy stuff. Like you said, I just need it to tell me when I need to do something, when something's happening, especially when I'm driving. I never did. My new phones are too big for the little holders, phone holders I've got in my car, so I've never bought another one. So I use my watch to notify me if there's an accident on the road or something like that. And, you know, if I have an incoming call, because my phone is usually in my bag, and so if I've got an incoming call, I can flip the Bluetooth speakerphone on.
I'll tell you what I bought, and it's fabulous.
Okay.
It's a little rubber, round piece of rubber.
Okay.
And with a magnet in it.
Right.
And then it has like a little claw that you can put onto any of the vents on your dashboard.
Okay. Right. And that's how mine works now.
And then there's a metal disc that goes in the case in the back of your phone, and it just snaps right on and pops right off, and stays on all the time. It's fabulous.
Like, see, I don't want to put anything on my – so you stick it on the inside – you stick it on the case, not on the phone itself.
Right. And so, it has a sticky thing, and I stuck it on the case.
Is it on the outside of the case or the inside of the case?
It's on the inside of the case.
So you don't see it?
You don't see it at all. And I thought, well, it's going to fall off all the time. It doesn't fall off. It's fabulous.
But isn't it a magnet?
The piece that goes inside the case is just a metal disc.
Okay.
The magnet is in the rubber thing.
Is in the holder itself, or whatever you want to call it.
And honestly, with solid-state devices, magnets are not an issue, right? Like they were with
magnet
media.
Right. Okay, I got to think about this. I'm just reluctant to do stuff like that to my phone and just stick anything out. Well, also, you know, my other phone, as they say, is an iPhone, and I've got a clear case on it, so actually I would be able to see it.
Okay.
I've got the OtterBox that Apple sells for the iPhone 7 Plus. Okay, well, thank you, Paul. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. I really hope you're able to get something working before you finally decide to return it. Because as I've said to John on several occasions since getting this, this has become my go-to device at home. The first thing I do is I pop it on. Actually, I don't even have to do that. I just use it when I need it. And that's the amazing thing, right? It's like an iPad. I don't have to. It's always on. And the battery life is amazing, as you mentioned earlier, because with that iPad, if I know I'm not going to use it for a couple hours, I usually turn the Wi-Fi off just to save battery.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Chromebook Plus, I leave the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on all the time. With the lid shut, of course, and, you know, just sitting there for hours at a time sometimes. But when I pop it on, it's, you know, either minimal or no battery drain. So it's been quite...
Yeah, that part of it is great, I have to admit. Okay. So, last thing to discuss with you, what do you think of Amazon's new policy that they're going to start charging Hawaii resident sales tax after April 1st?
I'm hoping it's an April Fool's joke, a very bad one. And they're going to say on April 1st, April Fool's, we're just kidding. But honestly, we could see it coming. You know, there's legislation going through the Hawaii state legislature right now for internet tax, even though I think I recall that the feds, although they may change it, said that states cannot tax locally unless there's physical presence.
Right.
So, and we don't have Amazon physical presence here of any kind, but what it may mean is we will have Amazon physical presence, and that's why they're starting to tax us. So if they have a distribution center here, which means faster delivery and jobs for the local folks, I'm all for it. If it means faster delivery without jobs, I'm all for it. you know, because it takes forever to ship stuff. I ordered a Bluetooth mouse through the Chromebook Plus like a week and a half ago. It shipped on like yesterday. Get here on Monday or something. So
yeah, I noticed that they've become very inconsistent. Like my Chromebook came in 3 days and your Chromebook came in a week and a half after you called and yelled
after
at them.
After I called, yeah. Yeah, I had to actually file a complaint. So I guess it was inevitable, and that, you know, people like you and I have enjoyed, I guess we can't admit this because you're supposed to really write in tax form. We have allegedly enjoyed, you know, not having to pay mandatory excise tax. We don't have a sales tax in a pyramid scheme like excise tax that piled for almost 20 years now. I've been an Amazon customer since 97, I think.
Right.
Or, you know, shortly after it launched. So, it's sad. I'm sad. But, oh well. Yeah. What do we order between now and April 1st, I guess is exactly. The question.
Which is why I'm thinking of returning this and getting my Surface Pro before April 1st.
Well, yeah, you know, there's something to be said for that. You might also want to consider checking the rumors for a Surface Pro 5, which, you know, I don't know how imminent it is, but Surface Pro 4 has been out for a while now. I think over a year and a half.
I'm actually kind of debating between the Surface Pro and the Surface Book.
Ah.
With the better keyboard.
Yeah.
Or is it really not a better keyboard?
It's... I haven't really played the Surface Book. I know several people have it. It looks nice. It's expensive compared to the Surface Pro 4. And quite frankly, I like the Surface Pro 4 keyboard.
Okay.
In fact, I have I ordered an external, you know, like Logitech keyboard for my Surface Pro 4 when I started using it at work. And it's been sitting on the side.
Oh.
Because I found out I like the Surface Pro keyboard so much that I just use it all the time. I put the Surface Pro 4 in a dock. I use the keyboard as the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I have two external screens attached. And so a total of three screens when I'm, you know, not wandering around. And it works great.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, so if you have the extra money to spend for Surface Book, it's allegedly a better device. I don't know for sure.
But it's a little bigger, right?
It's a little bit bigger, and it's got that funky hinge. You know, so it doesn't actually, there's like a little hole.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the Surface Pro 4, and if a Surface Pro 5 came out and I was able to buy one, I would, I think. Now they've got the firmware power management issues out of the way, which is a huge headache. But that seems to be more or less okay. Every now and then it doesn't wake up, but, you know, it's not as often as it was before, which is every day.
Oh, okay, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
And again, that's one of the great things about the Chromebook is you just flip it open and it's on.
Yeah.
There's no waiting at all.
It depends how you use the, you know, because I had so many power management problems in the old days, and that would be 1 year ago. I don't sleep it, generally speaking. I hibernate it, which means, you know, when you power on or when you turn it on, it does take longer to pop on.
Okay.
So, you know, but that's mostly because of my superstitious behavior, right? I just don't trust to sleep. So, you know, as a new owner, you would just say, yeah, sleep, you know, fine. And it might work from day one for you and never a problem. It's not a big deal. But even from hibernate, it comes back up pretty quickly, you know, certainly quicker than a hard disk-based system. And the screen is beautiful.
Okay.
It's 16.9. No. Is it 16.9? It's 16.9. I know I put it side by side with the Chromebook Plus, and the Chromebook Plus screen looked much larger.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're, you know, similar diagonal size, I think.
Right. Yeah, the screen is absolutely my favorite thing about the Chromebook Plus.
Yeah, I really like it. As I said, I feel like I'm getting my $450 worth out of it. I'm kind of sad you are not. you know, since I've now become an enthusiast over this thing. And I think I have a different use case. You know, I'm not trying to use it for everything.
I think that's the difference, I need it to do just a little bit more than it does.
Yeah.
Which means I'm constantly reaching for another device.
Right. So, yeah, you're hitting the edge cases. You know, and for me, I know what the edge cases are for me. And I just, like right now, you know, I've got a MacBook Pro sitting on my desk recording this podcast with you. Oddly enough, by the way, I don't know if you may recall this story. This is an old MacBook Pro. This is a 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's my daughter's. Yeah, well, not I think. I know it's my daughter's Chromebook Pro. I'm sorry, MacBook Pro that I bought for her when she started high school. She's now graduating college, so it's a while back.
Right.
The Wi-Fi died on it a couple of months ago. And so I had to go buy a $12 Wi-Fi dongle.
Dongle?
Dongle, yeah, to plug in, and that's how I'm getting Wi-Fi. But it's not bad. I'm getting, not super fast, but 30-something megabits down. Fast and, 10 megabits up. More than fast enough to record a podcast. I don't think we've had any glitches, talking over the vast distance we're talking, like the whole month.
Right.
Okay, hey, thanks again, Paul. Really appreciate your time. I was really interested to hear what you say. I really hope you give it another chance and maybe modify the use case. Something more, what's the word I'm looking for? Scaled back.
Right.
I think some of the edge cases it's still not ready for. And I think, because it's upgradable from a firmware perspective, I think we'll see improvements in the next 6 to 12 months.
Oh yeah,
hopefully it's performance improvements.
I'm sure. I'm really glad to hear that your experience has been so good with it, because I have high hopes for the model.
Yeah, for me this is a keeper. I have no intention to return it or sell it or whatever. I am considering selling my iPad Pro Junior, as I call it, because there's supposedly a new one coming out.
Right.
And I normally don't do that, by the way. I had not bought a new iPad since the iPad 2. So my previous iPad is older than yours. You have what basically I refer to as iPad 3, even though it's not called that. And I didn't buy it for, 2011 to 2000. I didn't buy one for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But because the iPad Pro is so darn expensive, I paid with the Apple Care and everything, I think it came out to $800 for the 32 gig model.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was going to be fine for my use case. I don't store music on it, minimal video, just whatever I'm watching that week kind of thing. But after I started doodling on it, as I call it, I think I'm using up more storage for my multi-layered doodles. And so I may have to spring for 128 gigabyte model just to keep doodling away.
Okay.
But we'll see. The rumor is that Apple's going to announce some new iPads in the next couple of weeks, so... Unfortunately, not by April 1st, but yeah.
Right.
I think Apple ships free to Hawaii.
Apple ships free anyway.
Right,
so,
but we have to pay tax, but they have physical presence, so I don't care.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, thank you again. It's been a long podcast. Appreciate your time. Thanks for listening to our fives of listeners. And John and I will be back for the next one. Maybe with Frank for episode. I didn't even ask him. Frank, if you're listening, can you be on episode 200? We'll talk to you guys next time.